Rushdoony Radio presents Systematic Theology in Two Volumes by Russus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation. 17. Abstractionism. We began by calling attention to the alien principle of abstraction as truth. Because Greek philosophy saw ultimate truth as an abstraction, as an idea, not a person, truth and knowledge required for them the process of abstraction. Truth is a distillation from the material context of reality. To know the truth about things meant not getting behind or beyond things, but getting to the heart of things, to what lies beneath the surface, person or thing. According to Plato in his Republic, Socrates held, quote, "Unless a person can strictly define by a process of thought the essential form of good, abstracted from everything else, and unless he can fight his way, as it were, through all objections, studying to disprove them not by the rules of opinion, but by those of real existence, and unless in all these conflicts he travels to his conclusion without making one false step in his train of thought, unless he does all this, shall you not assert that he knows neither the essence of good nor any other good thing, and that any phantom of it, which he may chance to apprehend, is the fruit of opinion and not of science, and that he dreams and sleeps away his present life, and never wakes on his side of that future world in which he is doomed to sleep forever." End quote. To grasp the influence of this pagan principle, let us see its application in everyday life by countless churchmen. We are told very often that we cannot judge or know someone unless we know that person's, quote, heart, end quote, and only God knows the heart. I have heard this said of a variety of offenders, homosexuals, in one case a rapist, talebearers and slanderers, and so on. The Bible gives us some very concrete ways of knowing people, quote, "By their fruits you shall know them," end quote, Matthew 7:20. What do these people know? They insist on abstracting the heart or essence of a man from the totality of his life and actions. The end result, in any Christian sense, is that all men are in the practical sense unknowable, because their heart or essence is something radically different, perhaps from the actual and concrete fact of their lives. The abstractionist has an abstract doctrine of man. The historical man is not the heart man or essential man, supposedly. The Bible requires us to regard the historical man as the real man. We cannot abstract an idea from the man and call the idea true or essential man. A man defines himself in his historical existence and in terms of God's word. God, who created man, provides the standard for the judgment of man. And it is the historical man, the whole man, who is judged, not an abstraction. The Greek mind in theology goes to the Bible to abstract an idea about God. The tools this Greek mind uses can be outwardly biblical. Ideas such as sovereignty and the covenant can be abstracted from their biblical context, as can the doctrine of man, to create an alien principle. Thus, James Dann continually requires theologians to do, quote, justice, end quote, to his abstract doctrine of man. In Thomism, it is an abstract doctrine of God. But God has already given us his word. That word is emphatically concrete. We cannot reject the concreteness of Scripture as anthropomorphic language. Rather, God's concreteness of language sets forth the totally personal nature of God and his creation. Attempts to diffuse and denature that radically personal character of revelation are deformations thereof. Gardner Williams, in his Humanistic Ethics, cited Plato's words on abstraction with approval as an, quote, "important truth," end quote. He thus summoned thinkers to define the good. For Williams, quote, "The Supreme Being is the ultimate reality or substance of the universe," end quote. It is, quote, "structured energy," unquote, and, quote, "the collective whole of all independent being upon which everything else in the universe depends for existence," end quote. This supreme being is thus impersonal and is, for Williams, both the collective whole and an abstraction of that whole, in that it is impersonal energy. The necessity of abstractionism for Williams is thus inescapable. To understand reality means to pursue a necessary process of abstraction. For the Christian thinker, however, such a process takes him away from God and is a denial of him. When God declares that Jesus Christ is the declaration of the Father and that grace and truth came in the person of Jesus Christ, he makes clear the vast gap between Greek philosophy and the Bible. For truth to come in the person of Jesus Christ and to be fully expressed in his person, John 14:16, goes totally against Greek philosophy. The logos, word, meaning, or structure of the universe, says John, is not an abstraction. It is the person of God the Son. Systematic theology thus cannot be abstract. It must be biblical. And the Bible is personal, concrete, and historical. But to do justice to history and to avoid turning history into a meaningless shadow against the void, it must be seen as the creation of the personal and triune God. Time is real because eternity is real. Neither time nor eternity is shadows and abstractions. Thus, when Ezekiel 35:2 declares that God commanded him to prophesy against Mount Seir and its people, it is a word from God to a concrete people in history who are to be judged by the eternal and ever-living God for their sins. God's concern about man's sins in any and every age is an historical concern rooted in his eternal decree and his purposes therein. Abstractionism soon loses its hold on both time and eternity because it seeks a truth behind and under both of them. But we cannot go behind or beyond God. We must go to him in his word. The concreteness of that word is offensive to fallen man because it is too clearly the personal word of the personal God. But there is no other word. Well done for listening all the way to the end. This is Nathan, the narrator, speaking to you from Puebla, Mexico, from the Faith for All of Life school in which I teach English as a volunteer. I teach from kinder through high school. Now, I rely on donations in order to keep teaching and recording, so if you want to support a Faith for All of Life school in Latin America and want to keep listening to Rush Dooney while you vacuum, drive or cook, commute or whatever you're doing right now, donate at ctn.org/Nathan Conkey. That's NathanConkey, all lowercase. Or if you prefer PayPal, paypal.me/NNathan Conkey. You can also email me at nfconkey, that's nfconkey@gmail.com. Thanks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.